The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَوْ يُوْ هُوْ بِلِيْهِ اسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear audience of IRIB English Radio, now it's time to listen to a short speech by Sayyid Asad Jafari.
Imam Ali, alayhi salatu wasalam, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa Muhammad. He says that you are to live for this world as if you are to live for 100 years. At the same time, he says, live for the akhirat and the hereafter as if you were to die tomorrow. What does that mean? That means plan. Plan. Save your money, plan for the future, invest in a house. Look 20 years, 30 years down the road. Right? To those who are part of the Jamaat, let's say, for example, and you are the decision makers of that Jamaat. A lot of your discussions and your decisions, be it based on the fact that you invite someone like me to speak, or be it the fact that, you know, you may one day decide to move buildings, let's say, for example, all of that is with 15, 20 years in mind. In our personal life, same idea. We get married, we think to ourselves, okay, you know what? I'm going to have children, raise those kids, marry those kids off, become a grandparent. All those things are. At the same time, we are not to attach ourselves to this world such that if we are to leave tomorrow, we are ready to go tomorrow for the hereafter. Very balanced. Imam Sadiq, alayhi salatu wasalam, says that if you are to measure the level of khawf and rija, of fear and hope inside of the believer's heart, they will weigh the exact same amounts. One of my favorite hadiths, I tell you. There are those people who are so hopeful, they are delusional. They continue to justify every sin that they make, no sort of presence of them trying to cleanse themselves, clear themselves up, you know, avoid that sin. No, let's keep going. Let's have God forgive me. He promised He'll forgive me. I'll keep giving Him every reason to forgive me. That's delusion. There's no way that God can forgive me. My sins are too big. His mercy won't cover my sins, blah, blah, blah. You have no idea what I've done. Both of them are extremes. Both of them are to be rejected. Imam Sadiq says, if you are to measure both of them, you are to find the exact same amount. A believer lives on hope. A believer lives on fear as well. There are several others like that. In this discussion on the world of emotional intelligence, the maktab of the Ahlul Bayt, the school of thought of the Shias, also have asked the human being to find a moderate level of emotion. Be it your desire or be it your anger. Let's give some examples. What do I mean by this? Let's start off with those who have a deficient level of anger. Because what I want to change tonight is I want to change this perception we have of anger to be somebody punching through a wall, to be somebody just tearing somebody apart with their words, to be somebody, God forbid, physically abusing somebody, to somebody committing a crime, hurting themselves out of rage and anger, right? That's not always the picture of anger. Sometimes anger actually breeds beautiful qualities inside of the human being that's revered and respected by God. I'll get to that in a moment. Follow me. So there are levels of a deficiency of anger that irritates God. When a person doesn't have enough anger, they become a coward. Follow me for a moment. What is it that stops somebody from defending their family? Or let's go another route. What factor, what emotion is it that allows somebody to find the courage to stand up, let's say, to a bully, or stand up, let's say. Let's say, for example, you're coming home after a program at the Jamaat, and you're on your way home, and you pull into your driveway, and God forbid, you see somebody who is inside of your home, now robbing your home right in front of your eyes. The front door is busted open, you look inside, and this guy is in the kitchen just filling up his sack with all of your dishes and everything. What do you do? If First of all, the first anger is rage, angry. Along with, you know, you're in shock, maybe you're a little bit scared, he might have a weapon. But the anger now will force you to say, excuse me, what are you doing in my house? Get out of my house right now. If you have the right amount of anger. And you become the defender of the home, the defender of your property, the defender of your family. But if you have a deficient level of anger, that cowardice comes in and you run. There are some people who run and leave their family right in the middle of the danger. Right? There's a fire going on outside the house and they knock everyone else down. They go straight out for the front door. Meanwhile, the wife is on the ground and the kids are on the ground inhaling smoke. But hey, you're on the front lawn and you're safe. There are people like that in this world. That cowardice is not something revered by God. There's nothing Islamic about that. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu qu anfusikum wa ahlikum nara. O you who believe, protect yourself and your family from the fire. You have that duty, especially as husbands and men in the audience. You are the qawameen. You are the maintainers, the protectors of the household. Doesn't mean that everyone else is too weak. Oh, come and protect me. Oh, my savior. No. Allah is telling the man that you are responsible for that. Now, if the man doesn't have a certain level of anger inside of them, in terms of a level where now, when they see someone disrespecting their wife, or disrespecting their kids, or their home, or themselves, that anger breeds what? That anger now breeds courage. It's a very noble trait. So when you are deficient in anger, you become a coward. And then you become a mazlum. A Muslim in the most negative sense, that now you are the object of everyone else's oppression. You don't stand up for yourself. Someone sits there, talks smack about your wife in front of you. You don't say a word. Why? Because you're scared of them. A man now, disrespecting your wife in front of you. You don't say a single word. Why? Because he's 6 foot eight, 6 foot four, got huge forearms. Doesn't matter. Let him bruise you up. Let him break your legs. But you don't let him talk to your wife like that. A deficient level of anger causes a man who should stay there and fight to actually do what? Flight and take off. It's not revered in Islam. It's not respected in Islam. Imam Hussein stood there, 30,000 people on one side, 120 some say on one side. He knew it's going to be one-sided. Forget one-sided. He will be killed in the most brutalist ways. His submission to God, his anger for the enemies of Allah, all caused him now to be there on the day of Ashura, facing the enemy. So there can be a deficient level of anger, absolutely. There can also be an excessive amount of anger as well. When now, of course, you just snap, where you should be quiet and freeze, or you should walk away respectfully, you don't. You stay and you fight. And there are some people who, when they get angry, everything is out of control. Their tongue goes, their limbs go. They say things that they never thought they would say. They become people that other people are scared about, their own family tipping toes around them, right? One little word snap, one little event snap, right? And they just, you know, they cause, you know, a very difficult life inside the house for everyone around them. So there's expression there of anger for sure, but there's an excessive amount of expression where Allah says, speak to your children in a loving tone. Speak to your spouse in a soft, naram lahja, as you say. Right? Address the mu'mineen with loving terms. Even talk to your enemy with respect. But here you are, you know, obscene language, insults that really, really dig deep. Right? Snapping at your children to the point where now you say words that echo in their minds 20 years afterwards. Stripping them of their dignity. Telling them, you'll amount to nothing, I wish I never had you, what kind of child do I have, you're worthless, you're useless, all these things, out of anger now, I'm sorry I was angry, you said sorry, no problem, but those words echo in their mind, and later on now they'll begin to rear their ugly heads. That's an excessive amount of anger. There are people I know, I'm sure all of you do too, unless they punch something, their anger can't, you know, it won't get out. So you see holes all over their walls, their drywall in the house. Very common. That's excessive. Those are people who need therapy, anger management therapy. There's no way Islam condones that. And that brings me to the moderate level of anger, which I'm sure now you picked up, that moderate level of anger. If the deficient level is cowardice, if the excessive element is an animal-like behavior, that moderate level that we're all trying to aspire to is courage.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
Rahi Karimun Adim Alimun Halim Hakimun Matim. قيوم رؤوف صبور مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد يا مؤمنين صل عليه.